I'm Alana Roche.
And I'm Dr. Lauren Costine. And welcome to The Consciousness Salon.
The Consciousness Salon is a conversation where psychologist Dr. Lauren partners with Alana Roche, the boundary boss, and community activists to raise individual and collective consciousness through enlivening conversations about psychological and social justice issues.
We will be discussing topics ranging from gaslighting and triggers to identity issues and internalized phobias, and why looking at the world and ourselves from a psychological lens improves mood, increases our sense of self, meaning, life purpose, and so much more.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? You look so beautiful in your new room.
Folks, welcome back to the Consciousness Salon. Alana has officially got herself a she shed. It has been long overdue. I know I've been telling you about this for a while, but it finally came into fruition. It's been able to fully manifest itself in the new year, and it's been such a wonderful sanctuary for me. So thank you.
That's great. Well, it really looks good on you.
Ah, thank you. I've got some curtains. Some folks don't need to see.
The background.
Yeah. Create some ambiance. I'm looking forward to kind of, you know, adding more to the space. But yeah, this is the initial phase of the space. So I just, it's been a lifesaver, definitely a game changer in terms of just having dedicated space for myself. This pandemic is definitely testing that aspect, right?
Right. And then bringing out kind of that, just that understanding of that need, you know,
so
like
clear.
In a different way. Yeah.
So clear. I mean, honestly, a lot of having to kind of reassess what the priorities are and understanding the needs of my partner and how very different our schedules are and really honoring, our very different needs. And, you know, that's happened to, I'm guessing, quite a few people.
No doubt.
Right? In this, like, having to have the conversation around now our home is not just a home anymore. Our home is now taken on all these different energies, right? Our home is now our workspace, or our home is now school, you know, it's this place of education now, all the things. So yeah, it was.
And a lot more eating at home, right? And, you know, I mean, for periods of time, just a lot more also, you know, survival needs needed to be happening in the home. You couldn't go get those needs met elsewhere in the same way for long stretches of time, which was an adjustment too. I think, you know, it's funny when you're using insurance as a therapist, you have to give a diagnosis right away, right? Mm-hmm. Just to get it going. And what we like to do before we know someone, you know, and if they have a stronger diagnosis, is use adjustment disorder. And that you can use for a max of 6 months. It can come with depression and anxiety. And I was just, as we're talking, I'm like, the whole world has been in adjustment disorder or adjustment for a whole year of intense adjustment and constant shifting. And that's really what
that was my diagnosis.
Yeah, that was your diagnosis. Yeah.
That was my diagnosis.
It's actually the gentlest diagnosis that we can give, right? Because it's you can get out of it. Like if you have major depression, you know, that's something you might have to manage for the rest of your life. You might not.
I love that you brought that up.
Diagnosing the world with adjustment disorder, not in a bad way, like, you know, like let's embrace that because that's what we've been going through, right?
Yeah, let's just name it. It's fine. I mean, I was totally, when she was like, this is what it is, I'm like, great. It's something, because there's a whole lot of things in my world anxiety, you know, all the things in my world. So if that's what it is, to keep our sessions moving forward, fine.
Exactly.
I don't care. I just need to see you next Thursday.
Right. How can we make sure that happens?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We have a really cool episode planned today, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a kind of a continuation of what we did last episode, which was roughly a month ago. And yeah, we want to kind of continue on our, like, a lot of it is like, what are we learning in this pandemic? What lessons, what shifts, what transformations, what conscious decisions are we making? What lifestyle changes? How has it enhanced our inner world, our inner growth, the two of us and then those around us? And how can that transform to something that's informative for our listeners today?
Yes, yes. How can we share our journey in a way that could be of use, you know, and can be supportive in your journey as well?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's well said, Lauren. Yeah, I mean, do you want to start us off?
Sure. Let me just look really quick.
Yeah, because I know that there are, you know, I know you and I talked about a little bit about what that looks like, right? It can look like a few different things. But I think one of the big things that I know I discovered, or I shouldn't say newly discovered, but I guess rediscovered, is this concept or this ideology of human design.
Yes. That was human design method, right? Which you actually turned me on to.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I shared that with you.
So interesting.
Yeah. It was super, super interesting. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to start with that or if you want to start with tools. I'll let you kind of.
I think we kind of said the title of this one is Discoveries During This Time. And we really wanted to talk about how rediscovering the human design method during this time had a big impact in certain ways, right?
And absolutely.
We were going to each share our own, what we found.
Yeah.
The thing I found, because I started, you know, telling everyone and clients, and then someone would come back and go, I don't know what time of day I was born. So that's actually, I think we should get into like a little bit of what you need to know to find out what you are, if you're interested. And
yeah, we will definitely include a link when we post this, directing you to the Jovian Archive website, where you can enter. It's similar to like astrology in the sense of where they need to know your location of where you were born and the time you were born. And look, I'm not trying to pretend like I fully understand this world and ideology or method, but it's a lot and it's complex. But it was definitely, the first time I learned about it was in 2019, and it was just, I was not ready for that wisdom.
Right.
It went right over my head. I just I plugged it in. I pulled it up, saw the man or the person, I should say, like the figure, I should say, not, there's no gender to it, but the figure that presented
the person that downloaded the information, right? The guy.
Well, there's an image, right?
Oh, like, you're right. There's an image.
Yeah. Never mind. There's like an image that appears to be some type of like, whatever.
Person,
but it's, anyway, you'll see when you do it. But, you know, has all these different, you know, identifiers, and a lot like, you know, astrology that, you know, breaks down all the planets, etc. This has its own, language and structure, etc. But nevertheless, I rediscovered this woman. I mean, should I just jump into mine?
Yeah, jump in.
Oh, okay. I just want to be mindful. A friend of mine actually sent me a podcast episode of this woman by the name of AC Brown. And the name of the episode or the name of the podcast is called Is My Aura On Straight?
That's awesome. Love
so it. Fantastic. So a friend of mine sent me this episode and I listened to it and like her voice was so soothing and her just her wisdom and everything was so comforting. And she was just, she channels. And she was just sharing how what was coming through in March, et cetera, and like where we're at globally, spiritually, et cetera. And I would just listen to her on my walks. And coincidentally, she's also a projector. Very interesting. Yeah. So that's really in the end, folks, like turns out I'm a projector. And that was the big discovery during the pandemic and during the quarantine specifically back in, you know,
the March, first quarantine, like the big first one.
First yeah. shutdown.
Yeah.
Like somewhere towards like the end of the shutdown, I just remember like doing my morning walks and listening to her and rediscovering a side of me, or I shouldn't even say rediscovering. I should say just flat out discovering that I've been approaching everything from a place of generating just output because I'm so completely programmed
and conditioned to do that, right?
And conditioned by this very capitalistic society we live in, right? Just produce, generate. And for the first time, I was able to give myself permission to step out of that and to be okay with it and to know that it's more in alignment than ever in this state right now. Like, just lean back, Alana. Time to recenter yourself, time to learn how to be back in the flow. Because I would find myself in the flow. There was definitely in my journey, there's moments in my life where I find myself like 6 months at a time or a year at a time, et cetera, really in alignment with spirit and in the flow energetically. And then I would somehow move out of that energy and then get back into like the hamster wheel motion, right? For whatever reason, just because, you know, I can admit that it's addictive. And I very much think there was an addiction to needing to generate for value. Like
I can totally relate
sense
to
of
that.
Value and self-worth and all the things. So yeah, that was a huge, huge discovery to just recognize that I'm allowed. Had to give myself permission to just be in joy and do whatever that looks like just to be in joy and then wait for the invitation. That's the big thing about the projector. It's like,
right.
You just live your best life and you wait for that formal invitation. And then you show up and you share your gifts and your talents,
right.
But you don't have to spend all this time generating and creating
and making it happen. You go when you're invited,
when you're called. And that was just a huge weight lifted.
And I think we should say quickly what the generator is, just in the general way that we know what it is, because sure. That is the majority of the population, which is also why the world tends to be like that, because they also just do things. I'm married to one, so I know you really well. But the generator, from how I understand it, is they are doers and they have the energy to do, right? And they just propel and get things done and they feel called to that and they're uncomfortable if they're not doing that, actually. And then at the end of the day, this is what I found so fascinating. At the end of the day, they get into bed and they can go to sleep in like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, right? And that's totally my wife, Vanessa. Like, her doing is amazing. She's an incredible generator. And then she gets into bed and she's like, yeah, yeah, I'm going to sleep already. I'm like, what? We're still talking. We're still connected. You know, I'm going. I'm leaving. I'm like, okay. That was like something I had to get used to. So that's, and I don't remember what the number is, but it's a higher percentage. It's a much higher percentage than, say, my percentage or your percentage, right?
And yeah,
that was part of the shift. That was part of like the help in the shift, right?
For you to recognize or for...
Right, and just to know, oh, that's the majority of the people. And so I'm also trying to be that or shaming myself for not being that. And that's been problematic for me because shame is so self-shame or feeling like other people are shaming you or me or whatever is an energy drainer as well. So yeah. That was really helpful.
Yeah, no, well said. Again, like giving ourselves permission to be authentically who we are and realizing that, I mean, personally, I got really good at it.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah. Like you can do it, right? You can push it. Right.
Yeah. I really learned and excelled at living out this paradigm of being a cog in the machine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a cog in the wheel, a cog in the machine. So really just taking a step back and recognizing, you know, that I actually have more agency than that.
Yeah.
And that was really empowering.
Yeah.
So that was a big discovery. So yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if human design is for everyone, but I definitely found it useful. I definitely found it beneficial. It definitely helped me in so many ways kind of I don't want to say reconfigure, but kind of.
Yeah.
I guess kind of reconfigure how I approach the world. So
yeah, exactly. And how you talk to yourself.
Yes, that more than anything. It really helped kind of like shut out the inner critic.
Yeah, right. That's why I think I really like this. I think that's why I like a lot of these assessments, not to get bogged down by them or like make them completely define you or define your identity, because I think that's a slippery, dangerous slope, right?
No, but yeah.
Use
for sure.
Them like we do as helpful tools, right?
Right.
And so for me, I found assessments helpful. I love the Myers-Briggs. I've been using it for over 20 years, personally and professionally. I love this one called what's called Colors. It's sort of a spin-off of Myers-Briggs, but defines it differently in your a color. Like you find out what percentage of colors you are. And we can do that in another episode because it's actually quite fascinating. And then this was another, what I saw is like another assessment, for lack of a better word, of like helping you understand your nature, sort of your
what
nature.
You
came into the world with. Like,
right.
And I think you and I have talked about this before, but I'm a big nature nurture person. It's not all nature and it's not all nurture. And some people are kind of either or. I've always found like kind of putting the two together really helps you understand how you became who you are as an adult. You know, it's like all these pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about like integration, which I think is really necessary. I definitely spent like a good chunk of my youth compartmentalizing. So I had to spend my adult
integrating. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been. That's like the long shift.
Continuous. It's continuous. Yeah. I'm sure there's other things that will come around that will be like, oh, that's helpful.
Oh, of course. I mean, you and I are like personal development junkies. So we're
junkies.
Always,
straight up.
We're good. It is what it is. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, it's a good addiction. Because it's not unmanageable and it's not making my life worse. It's making my life better.
But you know what, Lauren? I'm actually going to read from the website a little bit about Projector so folks have an idea. So according to Jovian Archive website, it says Projectors are somewhere between 22% and 23% of the population. And in the pre-9-centered era, manifestors ruled. Wait, is this for manifestors or projectors? Let me back up. In the pre-9-centered era, manifestors ruled. Huh. But now that we live in a 9-centered era, slowly over time, the projector is ascending into a leading position in the hierarchy. Hmm. Who knew? It says that it's an ascendancy of a different way of doing things. So projectors are naturally wise about the use of energy. Oh, it doesn't mean, by the way, that they act wisely, because of course they are not self there's no way for them to live out the advantages of what it is for them to be a projector. So it says we're in an age now where it is time for projectors to take on its role as a leader, but not as a leader in the manifesting sense, but as a guide. So they're seen as like advisors.
Nice.
So a lot of like manifesting generators tend to be drawn to me. I have a lot of manifesting generators in my life.
Interesting.
And they ask me for advice. So it's a really, I think there's certain, I've just been exploring my relationships in terms of these types. That's why I reached out to you. I'm like, what are you?
I know.
Everybody's a manifesting generator around me. Aren't there any just pure generators around me? Anyone? Anyway, it's a fascinating method.
It is.
So that's been a big discovery. Do you want to share a little bit about would you like me to read a little bit about?
I found out I was a manifester. And when I read that it was like 9 to 10% of the population, I was like, oh yeah, of course. Cause like I'm an INFP. I'm like 4% of the population. That it's like
shocking.
Always walking around feeling a little out of place. It's cool though. Like I've embraced that eventually, but as a kid, it was hard. Really challenging as a child, for sure. But I'd love for you to read some.
Sure. Yeah. Let's see here. So manifestors make up 10% of the population. And a manifestor has the ability to move its energy into action. Manifestors have off-putting auras, which explains a lot. It needs a lot of downtime, which that says a lot about you, which I did not understand fully. That's so interesting. Yeah, like don't you crave like restorative downtime?
The restorative downtime is so essential. And I didn't understand it for the longest time. My mom was like this. So I was like, oh, I inherited it like DNA-wise, because she needed a lot of this downtime after outputting a lot of energy. Like, so she could do that and I can do that. I can output a lot of energy. And then it's like, you know, all bets are off.
But you're also an introvert.
I'm also an introvert. So it's, I would be like, it's an introvert piece too, right? But then I wouldn't find introverts could also do the output of the energy in the way that I could. Do you know what I mean? So that sort of explained why I can do these bursts of things.
Yep.
And I'm like all in and excited about it. And then, you know.
So it almost resonates more deeply than just the identity of an introvert.
Yes. In that sense, it really, really helped. For sure.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. And then it says here, manifestors tend to operate on their own. Sounds familiar.
Yes.
And in operating on their own, they tend to look like they're taking their own action. In fact, they're like everybody else. We are all reactive. We are all reacting to the impulse. None of us are in control of the process. However, it certainly looks like manifestors are able to take that initiative.
Right, right. And it's, you know, when the way I experience that is, you know, I'll get ideas, a lot of ideas, like a lot of business ideas and ideas and they're all going on in this head, and it might take 5 years for one of them to actually happen.
Like, to like actualize.
To actualize. Yeah. Like, you know, and I'm like, oh, that, okay, I had that brainchild for a long time. It was in conception for a really long time.
It was incubating.
Yes. So that really resonated for me as well, as being like this idea person. And not, of course, a lot of them don't happen. They just can't. There's just not enough time, or eventually there's not an interest or what happened. So that was really helpful. The downtime piece. And then that was where, in that sense, I really fully gave myself 100% permission. I think as an introvert, I gave myself 80% permission for these downtimes, because these downtimes, I mean, I call them cave days. I've been calling them cave days for like 30 years.
That's awesome.
And it's like, I don't want people. I don't want to be around people. It's not personal to anyone. It is no, I can't deal with people. I need just a full, like, pull in and just be by myself and just be able to relax. And that is so retreat. I'll come back and I'll be ready to take on the world again, you know, for a short period of time after I have one of those. So right. As an introvert, I was like 80%. Yeah, I guess that makes kind of sense, you know. And once I read the manifestor piece, I was like, 100% now I understand how my system operates energetically. Like it was like, aha, integration. And then the other piece, which is simple, and it's not in the complexity of, I mean, because this is a very deep, complex system method, but just knowing that I need a full hour before I fall asleep was life-changing, because I wasn't always doing that, because I'm, you know, I'm a little like impulsive and addictive. And, you know, if I get into a show, I would watch it too late. And, you know, I wasn't like disciplining myself. And suddenly I was like, it doesn't matter what time I go to bed, I'm going to need like an hour. Just calm down. So now I have a really, and I think projectors are the same. We have that in common, right?
I definitely have been integrating that into my, into just like my daily practices during this pandemic.
Yeah.
Just honoring that I need time to wind down. And that could look like different things. It doesn't have to be the exact same thing each time, but just honoring that I'm not in a place where I just hit the pillow and I knock out. I used to be that person when I had a very different lifestyle.
I was that person during grad school, but that was the only time I was that person. But I was also like, I'd finally sit down to maybe watch one show that I had a little bit of time to do, and I'd sleep during the show, because that's how sleep deprived and exhausted I was. So it was a different time, like you said. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. There was a time where I was driving, you know, to Westlake Village, you know, I was getting up at 5:30 in the morning. I mean, it was a whole different lifestyle. So there's a different energy and output, right?
Yeah.
That was happening at that time. So I couldn't keep my eyes open after 9:30. But now, especially now that I am definitely more sedentary.
Well, and you work from home, of course, now during this time. Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean,
due to our circumstances, sitting is
a lot.
More part of my daily life, more than I'm, you know, a fan of, but, you know, we're getting there. But yeah, I need time to wind down, period.
Yeah.
That looks like all kinds of things. I mean, if that means reading a book or just drinking tea, you know, I'm trying to do less falling asleep with the TV on.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm trying to do less of that. My partner's really into that.
Okay.
And I found myself doing that more when it really wasn't my pattern before and just kind of taking on her patterns. So now I'm like, okay, you go to sleep. I'm going to go in the living room and read to wind down. Because I miss, you know, reading is my thing.
Yeah, I can so relate.
Yeah. Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, I agree with you. It's been really helpful.
Yeah, it's been change. It's just change. It's like, because what I really do now is it's like, okay, this is what time I need to wake up by. So I really need to be asleep by this time. So I need to be in bed an hour before. And just for me, planning that has made a huge difference.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Just being disciplined with ourselves.
Yeah, a huge difference in my quality of sleep. Because at this age where I am now, sleep is for me, the most important. That comes first.
Yeah.
Then exercise and then food. Literally.
100%.
I remember I talked to a friend of mine. They're like, no, exercise is more important to me than sleep. I'm like, that's so interesting. You know, that's like, but it can make or break my day.
I get that. I mean, you know, what's interesting is right now, I don't know if I share this, but yeah, I haven't had caffeine since.
Oh, that's right.
For months, probably since New Year's, around January, early January. I haven't had alcohol since New Year's Day. I mean, I basically have detoxed all kinds of stuff out of my system. So now it's just learning how to like regulate myself naturally.
Right.
And it's been interesting.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
So
that kind of goes into a little bit of our next topic, actually. I just wanted to say really quickly, I think that's interesting about the manifestors before we move on is that they're here to inform. And this really resonated with me when you wrote this down. The adult strategy for a manifestor is to inform, which is great freedom for the manifestor who leaves a parental household and no longer will ever want to ask for anything or for permission. Oh my gosh, when I went to undergrad,
I was just going to say,
the best day of my life. And it was actually the best day of my mom's life too, because she couldn't handle, like, I no longer wanted her permission or her advice, or I wasn't dependent on her anymore. And it was going on too long. And like, they needed me to go and I needed to go. Right. And when I went, it was, I mean, I made a million trillion mistakes, but I needed that. I needed that space to do that too, to learn from those.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, it was amazing. So that was really resonated. What came from that web came from their website, and just that, yeah, we're here to inform. And and that's when I found this path of being a psychologist. It so resonated, and a lot of it is really studying things, taking them in, and then, you know, informing about it. Right.
I love it.
All of it. So it really
all of it
makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. I'm so glad you're able to just kind of reflect on that and realize the alignment. It really, it's really awesome.
Yeah, and I love that now projectors are going to be kind of leaders. I love to see how that's going to be, because we do need so many things to change. So, so how about it? I'm at that point in my life where I'm seeing the younger generation, and I'm like, here's the baton.
Yeah.
So happy for you.
You go get them.
Yeah.
And
you have such a different attitude in certain ways, and you're so much more well-informed, and, you know, it's fascinating to watch these 20-year-olds do what they're doing.
It's fascinating for me to watch them. Absolutely. It's incredible. It's inspiring. You know, I did want to quickly just shout out to AC Brown.
Oh yes.
On her IG handle is her name, and that's AYCEE Brown. And just check her out. She is just so lovely. Such her vibe is everything. And yeah, I just highly recommend it. So
that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lana.
Yeah, of course.
So I think we wanted to, the other
pieces that we wanted to kind of touch on today is this, what we've been discovering also has more about also permission and redesigning self-care. So I know there's some really key components that have happened for you.
Yes. Oh my goodness. It's been so lovely. It's been so lovely to redesign self-care, redesign my approach to self, you know. Gosh, where do I start?
A lot has shifted, right? Like a lot.
Yeah, so much has shifted. You know, I guess, you know, because of, I think in the end, I just really, I needed to do the thing that I've been just putting off. And that is getting quiet, being still, really doing that deep listening of self, really tuning in and listening to what's coming up for me. What is it I need today? Like having my morning rituals again, where, you know, I sit and I just tune into my body, doing body scans. You know, am I holding any tension in my back? I do a lot of this work with my clients too, around boundaries, because so much of, like, you know, a little bit about what I do in terms of setting, you know, coaching personal boundaries, is that we cannot know, like we can identify what it is that we need unless you stop and tune in. Like, how can you offer yourself that wisdom otherwise? You just can't. So just also continuing this practice, like being still, listening, tuning in. Am I irritated right now? Like, am I cranky? Did I sleep well? Or did I get great sleep? Am I well rested? Am I eating nourishing foods? You know, all the things. And just having like a check-in with myself, which I don't think I've ever really granted because I was so busy just going, right? So really reclaiming that time and giving that to myself was really pivotal in kind of like redesigning self-care. But also just this process of like making it a priority to be very specific about which people I am going to connect with that will raise my vibration, right? No longer am I like trying to make time for like everyone. It's more about like, I only want to be experiencing joy, right? So if I want to be experiencing joy, then I need to be really intentional about who I'm connecting with that will raise that vibration. So that was like a big, big one for me. And I think because of that, I mean, I have to tell you, it was really challenging to consistently live from a place of joy. I mean, I would have to go, Alana, you deserve to feel joy. You deserve to be happy. Alana, hey, remember we talked about this. Do something that brings you joy. Are you in something that's bringing you joy right now? Like full on.
That's a conversation.
It's conversation with myself.
Yeah.
Always checking in with myself. So it's just this dance that I've been having around cultivating joy in my life. And I also discovered how much I enjoyed being an introvert.
Yep. That was a big one, right?
Right. So if you know me, I am an extreme extrovert. And something about the shutdown due to the pandemic, like the hamster wheel fully stopped. And I just stepped off of it and then like lit a match. Just lit a match and then blew up the hamster wheel. And I'm like, I'm never going back. It was just like, thank you. Thank you for stopping the wheel. And this is all, you know, a metaphor essentially. And I will do everything in my power to not get back on that thing. So really embracing my introvert, my introvert was like frolicking for months.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, so joyous. It was just like, thank you, finally. You've been ignoring me for years. So, and that looks a lot like just being still, you know, or meditating and reading, going for my morning walks. Ah, my morning walks have been epic. They've just been so delightful. Sunrises, like sunrise hikes, like just keeping my body in motion. And I got to really love the city in the mornings before it woke up. It was really special.
That makes sense.
I never thought that I would be that person, but I'm that person. I started joining these women groups that do tapping.
Oh.
And so I started doing more tapping last year and still. And it's just been so helpful to kind of just clear my body of all the negative beliefs that are still stored in my body. Mm-hmm. Just still there, still stuck. So that's really been powerful to kind of move that and clear that. And I don't know if folks know anything about NAP ministry, but there is this movement that is really about rest. It's about taking naps. Huh. And it basically like promotes that naps are a form of resistance. Right? Like in Black liberation, people of color liberation type work, it's like, get all the naps in that your ancestors were not able to have. And I just really been loving it. Though I am not much of a person that takes nap. I used to take a lot of naps, but I feel like as I've gotten older, it's been harder to take naps. But regardless of the actual nap, it's the rest that I'm more embracing. I'm just really embracing rest in general and being open to various ways of what that could look like. That could look like me going up and having my lunch, you know, out on the patio of my home or on the roof deck, you know, getting some sunshine. And I've had to set timers for myself on my calendar, like, okay, it's 12 o'clock. I'm going to go outside and eat. And that was really important to have dedicated self-care time in the middle of the day. So those are just a few. I mean, we did talk about how I had this moment of like, wow, my mom's mortality during this pandemic. And how that was really profound. Even though without a shadow of a doubt, she's going to live to like 100 because the woman is, you know, right. She doesn't age. She has more energy than me. She's stronger than me. She's fierce and fabulous. But this idea of like, oh my God, that's a thing. That finally hit me. So just having conversations with my partner about how can we be more intentional in spending time with our moms specifically and being there for them and being and just really cultivating a deeper relationship with our family, with our blood family during this time. So that's just, you know, that's a little bit about what's been coming up for me. And so, yeah, it's like reconfiguring the self-care and then integrating family pieces into that as well. And just recognizing my priorities and how they're shifting during this time. Less about, you know, building and producing and, you know, yeah, that's all being shelved right now. Like if I'm building, I'm building slowly. I'm building with self-compassion. I'm building with ease. I'm building with holding restorative processes at the center of that, like centering restorative processes with that. So yeah, it's just a different approach And yeah, thanks for letting me share that, because it's been pretty remarkable.
And you're really, this new life you're living is really resonating with you.
Yes. And the thing about all of it is that it's sustainable. That's the key. Everything I'm cultivating right now and honoring and just giving more attention to, this way of being and existing in the world is sustainable.
Yeah, because that, I think that's a key piece. You don't, it's like when things go back more to whatever it's going to look like.
Whatever, future, right.
We'll be busier for.
Well, we're addicted to it. We can't help ourselves.
Yeah, myriad of reasons.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Totally.
How to continue the sustainability of what you've created that works, that you really like, at least, you know, for now, because we are ever evolving creatures and, well, you know, who knows, right? But I think that's really great that you've kept that intentionality within all the other intentionality. You know, it's like, and I resonate so much with the word sustainable. It's like, it's obviously on multiple levels, sustainable for the planet, sustainable, you know, but just sustainable, like, can I do this in the long term? Because when I was younger and crazier, for sure, I just jumped into things and didn't think about that at all. Let's just go. This sounds really cool. Let's just go do it. You know, not thinking at all what might happen later. So I love how you put that. It's beautiful. And you've had such an incredible transformation in this way, and something that I know is really bringing you so much more joy.
Thank you. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's how do I consistently, what do I need to do to set myself up in a way where I can consistently tap into joy and have, like, yeah, not just tapping into joy, but also have capacity, right? Like, consistently, not just burn out, go through these cycles of burnout.
And then,
yeah, they're horrible. Cycles of burnout are horrible. They're just awful. Yeah.
Like, what are we really doing here? You know? So yeah. How about you, Lauren?
Well, yeah, I love this question. It's interesting. So for me, it started actually before the pandemic really hit. So 2020, a calling to go back to my spiritual work, for lack of a better word, my spiritual practice was extremely strong. And, you know, it was after 15 years of really dedicated activism alongside of all of my career stuff, right? And suddenly it was like, I love my activism, but because of capacity, my spiritual work has suffered. And now I'm feeling a calling. So I started actively listening to more non-dual spiritual teachers and practices in January. And then the pandemic hit, and I immediately started a book club to start reading all these books. And it was like, oh my gosh, we have all this time in the world. Like, let's just take advantage of it, right? So that's been one of my greatest joys, is to reconnect with it, rediscover my love of always having a spiritual practice. I have a new spiritual teacher I've been working with off and on, and she basically said, like, you can't not be here doing this. That's just the truth for you. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. I can't not do it. So the calling is so strong for me. So that's been, it's been life-changing because, you know, it's taken my inner work and brought new dimensions into it after years of other inner work in a new way, because I've been very dedicated before to spiritual work. With, I did a very deep dive for 5 or 6 years with Buddhism and meditation retreats, and I meditated every day. So I brought that all back. Not that I put the pressure on myself to meditate every day, because that's not part of what my practice is. Part of my practice is being present in the moment. And what it's kind of come to is recognizing internally when my mind is Velcroed onto a story that takes me out of being present. And this is a daily practice, right? It's ongoing. And I'll go, oh, there you are again. And then what I'm able to do in that moment is then kind of shift back into the witnessing our witnessing perspective, who, you know, I feel like that's who we really are. And then kind of go, oh, there you are, mind. There you are, ego, doing your tricks. And, you know, I have analyzed my narratives. I've done so much trauma work. I couldn't do what I'm doing today without that foundation. Right. So, because it's, even though I still get activated or triggered, because of a lot of the trauma work I've done, either it's not as intense, or if I'm really in a big one, I can figure out what's going on. And then I can start doing something about it, you know, with all the tools that I have. And that's been life-changing. And I've had a couple doozies, a couple doozy triggers in the last, this last year. And I have grown so much from them because of this new way of kind of looking at them. And so I'm actually in a retreat right now. It's online. And she's in the UK, so it's only in the morning and the afternoon, and we meet and do a meditation, and she does some kind of transmission work, which is really like energetically cleansing and opening, really heart opening. It's very heart opening work. And I've just found it transformative for me. So that's been a big one. Read all the books. Like we read A New Earth, all the Eckhart Tolle. So we did Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth. We did The Power of Now. And now we've been doing Michael Singer's Untethered Soul for a while. And in the beginning, it was like a book club where we'd like sort of analyze the book. And then it came in, became more of like a check-in. Like, this is how I practiced the tools taught this week. This is how I saw these books helping. And so it's really been quite something. And just, you know, I've always been interested in awakening and enlightenment and all of that. Like, that's always been a calling of mine or an interest and since I was like 18. So it's just a quest. It's like a quest it's so interesting to me too. So I think that is really part of it. And then of course I love to bring any of it into my work when someone is also interested in that. So that's the other, so that's a big thing. Also, I slowed down a lot, obviously, like most of us. I mean, my business went completely online. For the most part, that's been great because it's still very effective, which is, you know, it's still very effective. I do miss seeing, you know, clients in person, of course, But I also think it's been very restorative for all of us, my clients and myself, to not be rushing to appointments all the time.
I mean, that's where I'm sold. You got me there.
Right?
I'm like, if I don't have to get in the car and drive somewhere again to meet somebody at a certain time and deal with parking and all the stressors that
for
come
an hour.
That, sign me up. I can do this all day.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to talk me back into doing whatever that was. Mm-mm. I had to drive somewhere the other day. By the way, I feel like I've become a horrible driver because I don't ever drive now. I had to drive somewhere the other day and I was like, are you even paying attention a lot? I think that street was three streets ago. You're not even paying attention. And do you even know how, what are we doing? Why are we in the car? Like, it's bad. It's gotten really, really bad. So it's hilarious. Like I fully support, like your business totally is thriving online as well.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I, as a mental health provider, we actually, none of us have seen anything like it. I think I've mentioned that in other podcasts, right? So I actually did have to fight burnout a couple of times because it was, the call was so great. And you know, what we don't talk about a lot, because it's not appropriate, but we're going through our own experience at the same time our clients are. And that's unusual. I'm not usually going through the same thing my client, I mean, I might be, but you know. So that was a whole other kind of piece. That's where resting, and I love that you brought up resting. It was like, I started giving myself permission to rest a lot. I mean, there wasn't many places to go to anyway, so it was helpful, right? But I was also like, look, this week was big. There was a lot of emotion going on with a lot of people that I'm working with, and now I need to rest so I can be available for next week.
Be of service.
Be of service. And so for me, a lot of it is reading and it is movies or, you know, amazing TV shows or limited series. You know, I just get really into it. So,
but mainly it's the spiritual practice that just
spiritual practice.
Really,
that was it.
Rejuvenates you and gives you, it completely just fills you up. And I'm just thrilled that you found this teacher and that you've been able to give that to yourself, you know, in 2020 and 21.
And, you know, like you were saying, like things had to fall to the, like I had to reconfigure. I actually love that word. My life a bit. Like I can't do the same kind of activism that I used to do. But I do feel that evolving as a person helps the planet. And I don't mean that in a hubris way. I mean that in a way, like anyone that's dedicated to, you know, evolving or whatever, energetically, I've always believed this, energetically the planet benefits, right? So
it's very Buddhist.
Very Buddhist, yes.
Very Buddhist, so, yeah.
But that's one of the things that I'm not going to be doing as much of at this time.
Yeah. And we talked about this and that's okay. I know I've been really clear. I have this one thing that I'm doing in terms of like my community service type situation. And that's being a commissioner, you know, and that's fine. I'm very clear about how much energy I'm putting towards it. And I also and my expectations with it are very clear.
I think you're really good with that because like I get attached to stuff and you're like, I'm not attached. I'm like, I am attached. How are you not attached? Like,
well, I just,
I'm impressed.
You know, I'm just so, I'm, and I, maybe this is part of like the projector ability of like really being able to like see, I live in a world of realism, you know, I'm not an idealist. I'm a realist. So I'm able to just go, you know, I'm here for the journey. I'm here for the journey, you know, and we'll see what comes of it. And if we can make some positive changes, great, but I'm not going to lose sleep.
Got you. Yeah. That's really, that's incredible. It's an incredible.
Versus before though. I think
before was like, we have to change this thing. Like, and
I was so committed and invested to whatever the thing was. And that's part of like the evolution in like the last couple of years of going like, okay.
And an internal boundary you're able to set, I feel like.
Internal boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had to do some, had to do some profound work around internal boundaries, 100%. Especially since I'm a fixer personality type. You know, and that just the internal boundaries were so real in terms of just like my own journey around codependency.
And not going in and trying to help someone change something that they need. Yeah, so I think, so that's it. And then the other thing I just want to quickly say is my relationship with my wife, Vanessa. Mm-hmm. You know, we were forced together as everyone was in a way that we hadn't been before. I didn't go to West Hollywood as much. And we had to figure it out, like you were talking about. And so we bought a house together. We started a business together. We can talk more about all that at another time, but it's actually brought us a lot closer. And, you know, for me being as afraid as I am about like jumping all in, you know, I have done this very slowly as we were talking about. I've done it in a way that feels good with my timing and how I'm wired, but it's been incredible. So that's been a really wonderful, also a wonderful part of rediscovery or the new discoveries of the pandemic. And the business is making me feel closer to her because we have such extremely different skill sets that it just complements each other. And it's like, oh my gosh, we're building this baby together. Yeah, we have literal children. So this is our baby, you know, and it's neat.
And you feel supported by her in this way. That's very clear. So it feels good.
Yes, exactly. I feel very supported by her. And yeah. Mm. So.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I'm so happy for you too.
Oof.
And I'm
it
so
feels
glad
good.
To be doing this again. And I know we have to wind down for today, but it's really great to be doing this again with you. And I know we're giving ourselves a lot of permission not to pressure. And, you know, we set a time and then we might not be able to do it. So I'm saying this for our listeners to know too, that like, we're not making as many podcasts as we thought we might be able to for a number of reasons, various reasons that come up at times. But we are totally dedicated and we will definitely, and we're just trusting. Right?
And Shempa. Yes, Shempa.
Too.
And Shempa saying hi. Yes. Yes.
Yes, we're going to still do the podcast.
Yes, we're doing this, but so much of what we're learning and what we're exploring and discovering, we're also applying. And that also applies to this podcast.
How we do this. Yeah.
And our approach to creating episodes and making sure that when we create episodes, they're coming from a place of like ease and nourishment, and, you know, we're not trying to operate from the very capitalistic paradigm.
Go, 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 go.
Yeah. Generating, producing, exhausting, burnout. We're not doing that. That's not the approach.
Well, I'm neither generators. So,
and we're not generators, that part. Yes, exactly. So don't fit a circle into a square peg. That is the moral of this story.
Sorry.
Anyway.
All right, sweetie.
It's been real.
Yeah.
It's been the realest of the real. I'm so excited we're on this journey together, Lauren.
Me too.
And till next time.
Till next time.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you, everyone. Love you. We love you. And see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
The Consciousness Salon is owned, operated, and produced by Alana Roche and Dr. Lauren. Music is produced by DJ Roche and edited by Tyler Hood.
We would love to hear from you, and there are a number of ways to contact us. My website is www.drlaurencostine.com. That is DrLaurenCostine.com. And I also have a Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram page.
You can reach me at www.theboundaryboss.com. That is the BoundaryBoss.com. And The Boundary Boss is on both Instagram and Twitter.
This podcast represents the opinions of Dr. Lauren Costin and Alana Roche and their guests on the show. The content here should not be taken as medical advice. It is for informational purposes only, and because each person is so unique, please consult your healthcare professional for any medical or mental health questions. Thank you.